I want to begin by acknowledging that I'm indebted to my friend and colleague, the Reverend Scott Turnbrook, who is the minister at Northwood United Church in Surrey, from whom I have borrowed much of the material for today's sermon. How can we believe in a God who allows so much evil and suffering in our world? When I asked you a few weeks ago to share the hard questions of faith that you struggle with, this is one of the hard questions I expected to hear in one form or another. And sure enough, Tanya Martin shared that this is a question that she has been asked by some of her friends. It's really a classic. The Greek philosopher Epicurus posed it in this way. There it is. Is God willing to prevent evil but not able? Then he is not omnipotent. Is he able but not willing? Then he is malevolent. Is he both able and willing? Then whence cometh evil? Is he neither able nor willing? Then why call him God? Epicurus and many atheist philosophers after him have posed this logical problem, and not just atheists, let's be clear. It's a conundrum for all of us, because it's true. There is a tension between the classical understanding of God as all-powerful and all-good and the observed reality that evil very much exists. And most of us solve this problem, this tension, to some extent by easing up on one of those three areas. Either God is not exactly all-powerful, or God isn't actually good, or evil really isn't all that evil. This area of theology is called theodicy. Theos, God, and dike, or dise, justice. For many people in our world, given the state of the world, they just can't believe that God is truly good. On the other side, many people of faith believe that somehow what we perceive as evil is not actually evil, and part of some benevolent master plan that we simply can't understand. But that's a tough one to swallow, isn't it? It's like trying to tell a parent who has lost their child that somehow this is part of God's plan. Well, any God that would cause the death of a child sounds like an awful God. I know a few of you have experienced this most extreme grief, as have a few of my dear friends, and I would not for a moment suggest that God caused their loss. Take the school shootings that have become so horribly common, or other mass murder events, or the all too frequent incidents of brutality and murder of indigenous people and people of color at the hands of police and other officials. What kind of God would plan, let alone allow, such horrors? I would go so far as to suggest that describing such deep loss and horrible tragedy as God's will is actually spiritual abuse. It's just wrong. Like other moments in history, we are living in a time when the problem of evil seems especially challenging. We are struggling with the realities of a global pandemic, the legacy of colonialism, including residential schools and many current forms of systemic racism, the destruction of the Earth's climate, economic injustice and subjugation of most of the world's population, the instability of many nation states, the fragility of democracy and basic human rights, the ongoing scourge of cancer and many other diseases, and we could go on. While some of us try to change the channel and avoid the news altogether, which is a legitimate coping strategy, we still can't help but wonder, where is God in the midst of all of this? In our personal lives, we struggle with life's grave disappointments. We are shocked when an incurable disease developed, and we lament how life's events can go so horribly wrong. Where is God located amidst the suffering, pain, and evil in our lives, in our community, in our world? Perhaps we ask questions like, why did God take away my child? Why does God allow people to go hungry in so many places in the world? Or did God cause the hurricanes or cause viruses? After all, our insurance policies refer to natural disasters as acts of God. These statements reveal an understanding of a God who is either an active agent in destruction or a passive bystander who fails to intervene. Where do you view God amidst the pain and suffering and evil in our world? When we take on such tough questions, we really need to sort out who we believe God to be in our lives and in the world. For some of us, we have never really had the opportunity to unpack the Sunday school God that we were introduced to so many years ago. Where is God amid suffering, pain, and evil? At the very beginning of the scriptures in Genesis chapter 3, we find a text which is often referred to as the fall of humankind. It offers us a vision of our human relationship with the divine. This was the first recorded point in Scripture when humanity separated from God's will, breaking that one simple rule, do not eat from the fruit of this one tree in the garden. And so free will began. It didn't happen on the first day or the second or in the original design. Free will was something we developed and took on as part of our emerging humanity. And so we became free, free to murder, as when Cain killed his brother Abel. Free to make decisions and take actions in line with God's commandments. Or not. The ancient story of Genesis reflects the awareness that God allows us to go our own way. It recalls the moment when a parent lets the child leave the nest, either physically or figuratively. It is the time when the true freedom of our humanity begins. And I'm sure any of you who are parents learned, as I did some time ago, that trying to control your children and the choices they make is an entirely lost cause. and is certainly not what they need from us. Trying to control our children is no way to love them, in fact. To love them, to encourage them, to guide them when they can hear us. Both of my kids are in their 20s. And they didn't ask my advice much when they were in their teens. But now, sometimes, they don't follow it that often either. But we have close relationships because I respect their freedom. I respect them and their choices. And surely that is a much more powerful way to be in relationship than to try to do otherwise. God does not take away children to heaven or allow hunger or cause natural disasters. God is not a puppet master pulling our strings. God created us in love. And after we were created, God said, "It is good." And for better or for worse, God allows us to live out our days in freedom. So much of the suffering, pain, and evil in the world today comes at the hands of others or as a result of the brokenness in our world, as a result of the way we have harmed Mother Earth and broken down the relationships that hold us fast, and often as a result of random events that cause so much pain in life. Stuff happens. The old puppet master image of God with his long white beard, dressed in a white robe, pulling the strings of the universe, simply does not hold up when we read our faith stories. Process theologians and others tell us that, in fact, the Bible may speak of the strength and power of God, but never of God being all-powerful in the sense of controlling everything. That understanding of God comes from Roman and Greek and other imperial societies, or from a very ancient cosmology where people were at the mercy of the elements. Greek and other imperial societies posited a dominating, cruel omnipotence. But that is not who our God is. God loves us so very much that we have all been given freedom to live our lives for the good or for the bad. God is with us, but God does not intervene in every event. When I think about this dilemma, I ponder on the nature of what it would be like for God to be truly powerful and loving. What does that look like? Truly good and truly powerful. Jesus spoke about God as being like a father, addressing God as Abba, which is really not so much father as daddy. It's intimate. True power and love begins with absolute devotion to the other, self-giving love, not as one to be controlled and overpowered, but rather as one who is created and invited in love and liberated in love. Power over dominance is not the superior form of power. This is why we don't parent our children this way. It's why we don't engage in relationships this way. This is why we find in our God the purest form of power and love. This is the unique way of our God. God created and adored each part of creation from their inception, calling each part good. And in the garden, when humankind desired to walk their own path, God gave us our freedom. In that story, in the analogy of God as the cosmic parent, father or mother of creation, God creates us, loves us, God raises us and allows us the freedom to go out into the world offering our best or our worst, and we see both so much. But that is the power, of love, that is the nature of God. So where is God amidst the suffering, pain, and evil of this world? If God is not pulling the strings like a puppet master and zapping evil with lightning bolts, is God weak or disinterested or even worse, impotent? In the gospel text we heard this morning, we see the nature of God reflected in Jesus. Lazarus, his dear friend, has died. The illness was horrible, the suffering was long, and Lazarus' sisters are weeping. Jesus' first response to the weeping is that of empathy and compassion, of being there with them. The text says that he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. The Greek tells an even deeper story of Jesus' compassion. The nature of him being disturbed and deeply moved goes all the way to Jesus' insides. It is a bodily reference. Jesus deeply feels the pain of the mourners. It is deep in his gut and his heart. And after inquiring where Lazarus has been laid and receives an invitation to come and see, before he will even go to see the body, Jesus weeps. Jesus cries. So when we wonder where God is amidst the suffering, the pain, and the evil in the world, we know that God is there feeling the pain. God is there saddened by the evil. God is there crying along with us. When the cancer diagnosis comes back positive, when the surgeon says, "I'm sorry, we did all we could." When the hurricanes tear apart homes and the forest fires burn them down, God is there crying with us. When we do unspeakable things to each other, God weeps. This God who weeps, who feels our pain, is truly the strongest and most loving kind of God we could ever imagine worshiping. It takes true strength to meet someone in their pain and take it on. It takes true love to share tears alongside another who is suffering. This is the true nature of God's power and goodness, the power of self-giving love. This is the God we see in Jesus, a God who weeps and who shares fully in our suffering as Christ did on the cross. A God whose way is that of truly being with us in the world of suffering, pain, and evil. As our United Church of Canada creed begins and concludes, we are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.